When President Obama spoke by phone with Prime Minister Cameron last night, he invoked the special relationship between the U.S. and Britain. It's not the only special relationship that Mr. Cameron steps into. Britain, of course, is a member of the European Union, but not the Eurozone. It still uses the pound, not the euro. How do the Conservatives and their junior partners in government, the Liberal Democrats, view those relationships? And will there be any marked change from the Labour Party governments? Well, we're now going to ask columnist Jonathan Friedland of The Guardian newspaper, who joins us from London. Welcome to the program once again.
Good to be with you.
And first, the special relationship, as we always say, between the U.S. and Britain. Is there any daylight between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats, to begin with?
There would be historically, in fact, quite a lot of daylight, because the Liberal Democrats, on foreign policy at least, have always been traditionally on the left of British politics, and that translates into a degree of scepticism about the special relationship, the desire not to take orders from Washington and to strike out with a more independent foreign policy. Historically, the Conservatives have been in the exact opposite place. The change is that the new incoming Foreign Secretary, and so did David Cameron, speak of having a strong but not slavish relationship to Washington. And I noticed that today, William Hague, the new Foreign Secretary for Britain, repeated that phrase.
Not a slavish relationship with the United States. That sounds like a description I would have expected from the farthest left socialist Labourites some decades ago in describing the relationship with Washington.
That phrase, when it was used, and it was used by David Cameron himself, shocked a lot of observers. He did it in a speech that was on the anniversary of 9/11, and many people thought it was deeply insensitive. The purpose, and you have to remember the context, then it was George W. Bush who was president of the United States and was a deeply divisive and unpopular figure in Britain. And David Cameron, by using the kind of language that would have been traditionally associated with the left, saying we mustn't have a slavish relationship, he was trying to reposition his party and urge people to look at them again. Now, with President Obama there, much more popular abroad and popular in Britain, it came as a surprise to hear an incoming foreign secretary use that word, but I think it was code language to say the Liberal Democrats and I are in the same place, which is we absolutely want a strong relationship with America, but nevertheless, we wouldn't be slavish. And I think that was code word for saying no more Iraq war type adventures, but also to say that there was a meeting point between him and his new partners, the Liberal Democrats.
Now, from looking across the Atlantic, turn round and look east across the Channel to Europe. How would you describe the attitudes of the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats toward Europe?
They are poles apart, and many people thought the coalition that has now formed would be impossible because of this single issue. On the one hand, the Conservatives, the dominant group, are defined, many of them proudly will say, that they are Europhobic, or at least Eurosceptic. They are against the project of ever closer integration in the European Union. Some of them would even like Britain to come out altogether from the European Union. On the other hand, the Liberal Democrats are the most pro-European party in British politics. It is still their party policy to join the euro, the single currency, when the time is right. That's their party position. And they have applauded and warmed to every step towards closer integration with the European Union. So this is a huge gulf between them. And the way they've dealt with that is to say that essentially we'll agree to disagree and we'll make sure that no big European issues are coming down the track and therefore we don't need to even discuss it. And that's the only way they can patch up this very large gap between them on Europe.
Jonathan Friedland, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
That's columnist Jonathan Friedland of The Guardian newspaper speaking to us from London.